Welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy F. Solomon, your host. The Global Product Management Talk is a discussion of vital issues affecting professionals passionate about products, process, product management, startups, marketing, innovation, and excellence. We're a top 10 business podcast in the Blog Talk Radio. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK, and that is your magic acronym, PRODMGMTTALK. It's our Twitter handle. It's our hashtag. You can find us by searching for us on the web. We're a weekly, regular show where we showcase experts, product people who are passionate about product excellence, entrepreneurs, startups, and information having to do with forwarding your product career, your interest in managing products, and forwarding product excellence. I'm Cindy F. Solomon. I'm at Cindy F. S-O-L-O-M-O-N. And today, it is August 19th. We broadcast usually at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Denver, 12 noon Chicago, 1 p.m. Boston and New York. And we're broadcasting out of Studio 132 in the Oakland Hills with six-time Emmy-winning engineer and excellent musician B.Z. Lewis. Check them out at studio132.com. Thank you to our sponsors for supporting our efforts to continuously iterate to bring you the best information available and the best people, the AIPMM, Association of International Product Marketing and Management. Follow them on Twitter at AIPMM and go to AIPMM.com to check out their excellent resources, their regular webinar series, and their certification trainings to forward your career and guarantee that your product professionals are operating at peak performance. Sprint.ly. Don't ask how it's going. Watch how it's going with Sprintly. It's project management software bringing the entire corporation to the software development process, showing everyone a top-level view of what the programmers are doing. Follow them at Sprintly and go to Sprint.ly on the web and use the code PRODMGMTTALK2132013 to get 10% off your first 3 months using Sprintly. You will thank me. Shout out to BrainMates in Australia, BrainMates.com, boosting people and product performance. Check out their excellent BrainRants newsletter and learn about their consulting and mentoring at BrainMates. Thank you, Sponsumo, solving the headaches of managing conferences and other events. Sign up for a trial account at Sponsumo.com. And as I said, we recorded live at Studio 132. Thank you to at Blame Sally, www.blamesally.com, the band for the music. Today we're talking with Tatiana Josephy, who is head of products at Crowdflower. We're going to talk about being a woman in technology, bootstrapping a mobile application, and agile culture. And by the way, August is Women in Product Month here at the Global Product Management Talk. We've been featuring a woman in product every week in August. You can see the archives and listen on iTunes. And we're also brought to you by Startup Product, which is a movement for product excellence through cross-discipline collaboration and holistic perspectives. Product Weekend is coming up in San Francisco, October 10th through 12th, starting on Thursday with trainings. On Friday is the all-day Startup Product Summit, SF2, with, 20 speakers who are all product leaders, who are at the front of startups, of scaling companies, and have a lot of experience to share. That would be an all-day, one-track, one-room event with an after-party, and it's followed on Saturday, October 12th, with Product Camp San Francisco, which is a user-generated unconference. Go to startupproduct.com and register today for the best price at the summit. And the sites for Product Camp and the trainings are launching this week, so stay in touch. So, Tatiana, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Great. Okay, so let me tell you about Tatiana. She studied public policy, ethics, and development in college, but she always dreamed about a career in storytelling and filmmaking. She considered becoming a director, but saw a strong similarity between product management and directing. She pushed back a sprint to join us today in honor of Women in Product Month, and I have to do a few shout-outs. I want to welcome the Startup Product LA community coming on board. Shout-out to the Women in Product community in New York City, and Kaylee, the new co-organizer, and also Michelle in LA, and also to Product Camp Atlanta, and apologies for spamming. There were over 90 tweeters tweeting at Product Camp on Saturday, and we go through and capture all the tweets in chronological order into a Storify at storify.com /prod management talk. And then Storify automatically notifies everyone who is included, and so they got spammed, the @ProductCampATL. So thanks for letting me know that, Brett, and apologies, but what a great event. You can read it on Storify, and we're excited to bring that kind of energy to Product Camp San Francisco. Okay, so coming back to you, Tatiana, and I apologize, Tatiana. What I do is if there are people tweeting, and we invite people to call in, so I'll try not to be too abrupt in interrupting to do shout-outs, but we'd like to include everyone in the conversation because this is very interesting and vital things that we're talking about.
Sounds great.
So that's it. That's what I have to say. what I'd love for you to tell people what a sprint is, because it's not that you pushed back doing a fast run in order to be here.
That's true. A sprint is a term in product management, and it simply means that it's a block of time. And for us, a sprint is a two-week block of time where we plan what we plan to create in the next 2 weeks. And so, Cindy, when you said we're pushing off sprint planning, all it means is that we're moving sprint planning to 11 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock, and we spend that hour going through everything that we want to accomplish over the next 2 weeks. And so it's just a really handy tool for product managers and for developers to get on the same page about what we're going to be developing.
Excellent. Excellent. And then do you do daily stand-ups?
We do. So the full suite of ways that we connect, we start with sprint planning on a Monday, and then every day for the 2 weeks of the sprint, we do a daily scrum at 11 a.m. And at the end of the sprint, we do a sprint retrospective, and that helps us look back and say, how did we do? What could we do better?
Excellent. Very disciplined approach. By the way, I left out that Tatiana Josephy is head of products at Crowdflower, which is a crowdsourcing company, and it takes clients' large data projects and breaks them into smaller, more manageable tasks that are then doled out to hundreds of thousands of contributors around the world. The company's platform allows for performance tracking of contributors and enables quality control in real time at a large scale. With Crowdflower, clients accomplish in hours tasks that would have taken their in-house staff weeks to finish. They're at crowdflower.com. And I'm very excited about how Crowdflower has grown. We were actually talking about it because last week Stephanie Geerlings was on, and I originally met her a couple years ago at Crowdflower when they were in a one-room apartment office. Tatiana, so I know that it's grown since then.
We've grown really quickly, so we are no longer in an apartment. We are in a pretty large office at 17th and Mission. We've got about 60 employees now, and the platform is growing really quickly still, so we're very lucky.
Excellent. Okay, so let's see. So About how many other women are on your team, on the product and engineering team at Crowdflower?
Sure. So we have a product intern right now who's a woman, but besides that, just me for now. And in September, I am very excited to say that we're going to have a woman developer join the team full time. And she's excellent. We worked with her over a summer. Yeah, but we're all very, the whole team is really excited about it, not just me.
Yay. So our actually Q1 that I have was, what is it like to be a woman in technology? And certainly, my experience is different than yours, so
sure,
I'd love
sure.
to hear what yours is.
Sure. I think the short answer, Cindy, is that it's really exhilarating. I love my job. I get to make really big decisions about a quickly growing SaaS platform. And what we're trying to do at Crowdflower is to make it easy for businesses to get high-quality results from the crowd. And so we're really changing the way that the world works. And so to be able to, shape the future of that, I think is, there's nothing that's not fun or exciting about that. And, I think beyond that, technology is a field that I couldn't imagine myself being anywhere else, probably for a few reasons. I always wanted to be in a field where there was very immediate feedback. I would create work and then I could see if it was working or not immediately, and technology provides that. And I also wanted to work in a field where there's, really high impact, and tech is perfect for that too. You can launch something that, immediately goes into the hands of thousands of people or hundreds of thousands or even millions of people, and that's, really, really satisfying to me. There are those days too where it's frustrating, where I wish there were more women in the field. I think the field of tech is changing quickly, and there are more women who are entering the field. I always want that change to happen more and more quickly. And I think that the simple reason there is that, there's just so much brain power out there, and, it's important that we use all of it. One of my favorite articles out there is actually from Warren Buffett about women in the workplace, and it's a recent article, and it's why Warren Buffett is bullish on women. And I love this because I feel like he really encapsulates that there's just so much brain power out there that we can capture in women we will when there's more of a balance between women and men in technology.
I totally resonate with what you said about the immediate feedback, and that's been true from the beginnings of from when I got in, when dinosaurs were still roaming, as my friend Richard Mironoff likes to say. The immediate feedback, and that you can get. You can see the results, but look, if you're working on a computer, it responds. And now with social media, you get response. But that it's also constantly changing. You can never be the smartest person in the room or isolated in technology. There's always going to be someone else who's pushing the envelope further, and something else that you didn't know about that's going to contribute to what you're doing. So, yes, that's what's kept me exciting, kept in. What I'm been impatient about is that there should be more women. I expected there would be more women by now, that it wouldn't still be an issue about needing to encourage women to come in.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just we're the same way, and I think that's about being in tech too, of wanting things to move really quickly. And I definitely see the space changing just in the last few years, but always wanted to move more quickly.
Yes, yes. So the Q2 question is, how many women, if we were to quantify this, how many women do you know? In product, and by saying women in product, that's pretty wide, not just product management, but development, and maybe it's how many women do you know in technology? And I do know quite a few, but of a different generation. So, you know, I see a lot more, and I do am now attending events where there is also lines to the women's room, and that was a big deal at the Startup Product Summit in February.
Awesome.
That there were lines to the women's room and to the men's room, but at Silicon Valley Code Camp, where 3,000 developers show up, there's no line, you know, there's lines only to the men's room.
I'm glad to hear that there was a line to the women's room at least this time. That's wonderful.
Yes, and that's...
So in terms of the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's the intention of the summit, is to bring together people from diverse cross-disciplines and cross-functions to talk about these issues.
Got it. So I think to your question of how, you know, how many women in product and tech do I know, you know, it's only a handful in classic product management. You know, wonderful to know Stephanie. I have a wonderful friend heading product at a company, Donors Choose, that I used to work with, Charlotte Weiskittel. But interestingly, you know, most of the women I know who are in product are women who have co-founded their own companies and who are running their own companies. And there, that's where I really know a lot of women, you know, probably over a dozen, maybe two dozen women who have started their own companies. And, you know, those are women who are incredibly inspiring to me and who, you know, they're out there and their stories are incredible. I, you know, have a wonderful friend, Kat Frank, who started out as a babysitter, and as she was babysitting, saw that, you know, women, mothers didn't have enough time to create healthy food for their children. And so she created a website, Evolution Catering, where you can really quickly order food for the week. And, you know, that business is taking off. She's partnered with Tim Ferriss. And it's, you know, it's incredible to see that growth over the last 2 years. You know, I have another friend, Virginia, who founded Silvatex, and she's disrupting the oil and gas space amazingly with a fuel that you can inject into diesel that makes the diesel a lot more efficient. Another friend, Yin-Yin Wu, who just came out of YC, who started a company called Prim that makes it a lot easier to do your laundry. You just, with a click of a button, somebody picks up and does your laundry and takes it to the laundromat. And so those are the women who, you know, who are out there. I think there are actually so many of them that we often don't hear about. And I see them everywhere. My network is women who are starting companies and really succeeding quite well.
Excellent. Gee, I couldn't tweet that fast, so please, following the talk, will you send me that list so we can include it in the recap?
Sure.
Awesome, excellent, because definitely want to give a shout-out in the product management community to them as well. Awesome, excellent. Very exciting and totally appropriate that women should be founding companies and not having to come up necessarily through the product ranks, but starting out because they see a market and they see how to disrupt it or how to contribute to that. So that is excellent. So speaking about culture, which we've not really been, but our Q3 question, I'm going in order today, is how has agile implementation changed the culture at your organization? So I don't know if has Crowdflower always been agile, or has it been a shift in what you've seen or what you've brought in terms of the culture or implementing agile?
Sure. We started implementing Agile more strictly about 8 months ago. And Agile is really, really great at some things and not as good at other things. And so, you know, a few of the things that I think work really well with Agile. Agile is a really great way to communicate a high-level product roadmap and the way that product roadmap connects to the day-to-day work. And so, you know, we can say, what do we want to do this year? What do we do this quarter to achieve what we want to do this year? And then what do we do in this sprint that maps to our quarterly and yearly product goals? And so, agile product management where we were able to break down work into small pieces, iterate, and work in small chunks of time makes it really, really easy to connect, individual tickets to the big picture and what we're trying to do. And so that's been very, very effective at Crowdflower. I think agile is really good for accountability. Both across the team to be able to say to the entire team, this is what we plan to do over the next few weeks. Did we achieve it? I think is motivating and keeps us accountable to the rest of the team. Within the team, being able to do a sprint retrospective and say, what did we plan to do and how did we perform against that plan is really powerful. I mean, I think that's something that, not just engineers should be doing. There's a lot of ways that I think agile methodology should be applied across companies as a whole. And then I think, for efficiency, it's hard to improve efficiency if you're not measuring it. And so the Agile framework has helped us measure our what's called velocity and take a hard look at what our velocity is and how to improve it. And so you can't improve what you don't measure. And so Agile has helped with that a lot. I think where Agile where we just have to make sure that it's working well for us is that because it's so disciplined and so measured, we need to make sure that we're making room for creativity, for engineering input. I was reading Hacker News the other day and read a comment that really, really struck me. The comment was, we brought product managers in and then everything about my job that was fun was taken away. And that was an engineer's comment. And that really hit me, because, product managers do a lot of the fun work. We do a lot of the planning. We do a lot of the design. The thing that I really work on at Crowdflower is to make sure that no engineer ever has to say that. There are a couple of ways to really bring, engineers and their creativity into the process. And I think one thing that we do at Crowdflower is to involve engineers very closely in our planning process in the creation of the backlog and in the creation of the higher level roadmap as well, to say, to have conversations and say, what do you think is most important? What do you want to be working on right now? And then I think another way to make Agile, more effective is to be flexible within the Agile framework. To have room for engineers to propose a new idea that just maybe wasn't on your backlog, but is really powerful. And, one example that we saw recently there was an engineer who just started working on his own project. He wanted to make our most heavily trafficked page on our site faster. That page is the listing page for the Crowdflower tasks. And so you can imagine that, tens of thousands of workers are hitting that page constantly. Huge, huge load on that page. And we didn't have it on the product roadmap, on the roadmap to work on that page, but he started working on it and, he made that page 2 times faster. And that's incredibly valuable. And when he, proposed that he wanted to work on it, that's something where the product team said, yes, let's make time for that. It didn't happen to be on the roadmap, but that's something that's worth making time for. And so, I think Agile is really, really strong in the structure that it provides, the accountability, the efficiency, as long as it makes room for, for individual engineering creativity.
Yes, engineers are incredibly creative. I think it's, programming is an art form, and that is not recognized necessarily. But definitely, they have to be having fun. And I also see that even the whole rise of the Agile movement came out of engineers standing up and saying, don't manage us. Leave us alone. Get out of our way. Mm-hmm. We know what we're doing. Yeah. And if you're going to, measure what we're doing on an Excel spreadsheet with accountants who don't understand or appreciate what we're doing, then, we're going to jump ship. It's not going to work. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And, I think product managers need to love engineers. I was married to one. But it is a tug and pull. You know, it could be a love-hate relationship because product managers are often viewed as a bad guy. Because what if, you know, the creativity that the engineers want to do is not aligned with what the business case or the product case is? Way back when I was managing big product development at website web development, they always wanted to work on the newest language, but that would always mean a totally restructuring of the whole back end, and it wouldn't necessarily be aligned with getting the features that the customers needed on the current way the website was organized. So how do you not be the bad guy?
Sure. we actually have a really fantastic relationship between product and engineering at Crowdflower. And I think really it just comes from mutual respect that the engineers have seen the product team develop products that users have really enjoyed and have used. And I have this, deep feeling that one of the things that makes engineers happiest is seeing a product in the hands of users, being used, being enjoyed, and being able to reach people. Like it's thrilling to see software in the hands of people. And so if the engineering team really trusts that the product team is building the right thing, I think that's where the trust comes from. There's nothing you can really do besides, design great products to engender that trust. And then I think on the other side, we have a really, incredible engineering team at Crowdflower that the product team loves working with. And I think they're incredible because they really do want to connect to the end user. And they also have, come up with some of our best product ideas as well. And so, I think it's a relationship of just, respect, listening to each other, and a healthy creative friction in terms of saying, what do users need? Well, what does our architecture need? And balancing those two needs.
Excellent. Yeah. And gosh, I mean, you're watching people use the product live. I assume that's what you're doing what the engineers can see how it's being used immediately.
Sure, yeah. I mean, usability testing is great for that, but really it's just, tracking the metrics of product usage and, saying, 10,000 people saw this and experienced this and then passing that user feedback back to the engineers. So, we survey our internal team of users. We have power users in the form of a services team that uses our platform. We survey them constantly and pass that feedback back to the engineers. We pass the feedback of our contributors or workers back to the engineers. So that feedback loop is really important.
Excellent. Excellent. So going back to, you wanted to be a film director, and then you discovered that product managers are like directors, and I happen to know someone who's in film school currently, and I'm always translating what he's doing into product management. But actually, I see directors as being more of the CEO, because he's responsible for everything, and everyone reports to him. And Tell us about how you went from directing to product management.
Sure. So, I think the creation of experience is just something that I've always been fascinated by. Technology is such an amazing way to create an experience for a person end to end. So that's, that's the parallel that I see there. But I also, I'm sure this article gets quoted all the time on your show, but that Ben Horowitz article on what makes a good product manager versus a bad product manager. Do you know the article I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, it's an awesome one. And Ben Horowitz, I think he said something that's so, so true, that a product manager is really the CEO of a product. And that, you know, that ranges from, you know, understanding the market and users to motivating the team with a vision and motivating a team of engineers, which is not easy, communicating across teams. And so, you know, that whether it's like the CEO of a product or a director, I think the end result is the same, that you are really responsible for the, you know, the success or failure of the experience at the end of the day. And so, you know, I think it's, you know, product managers measuring whether we've really succeeded or not, in my mind, might be easier than even measuring other fields, measuring success in other fields. And the success metric in my mind is, you know, are people using the product? Do they want to be using the product? You know, in a movie, are people watching the movie? That's the main metric, right? Is the movie bringing in, what's the box office revenue? Do people want to watch that movie? And, you know, at Crowdflower, we, for individual features, we really do treat them like, you know, your own company. If you're developing a feature, we track, how many people are using that feature, clicking on it, and want to be using it. And that's our, you know, there's so many different success metrics, you know, satisfaction, conversion rates, but that's the metric that I care the most about. Are people using the feature or the product that you created?
You're just saying such gems, I cannot keep up with tweeting. Excellent. But, you know, and that is a debate in product management circles, too, is the product manager the CEO? Should they be the CEO? And is that a good analogy? Because the product manager doesn't necessarily have the authority to drive all of the success metrics, although they're responsible and accountable for them. And so that's an issue amongst product managers, and I hear this from UX people as well, that they're blamed when things don't work out, but they didn't have the authority to guarantee that they would.
Oh, I disagree with that completely. I really love that CEO, product manager is a CEO paradigm, because it's product manager's responsibility to shift the land and shift the ground in a way that makes the end goal possible. You know, there's a lot of communication in that, a lot of rallying team members around an idea, around a product. You know, and in my mind, there's another great article, I think by Ken Norton, that, you know, that product managers can be disposable in a company. You know, they don't have to be there. There are companies that operate without product managers and succeed, but at the same time, product managers can make the difference between failure or success of a product. And I'm a really, really big believer in that a great product manager stops at nothing to make that product successful. And at the end of the day, they're responsible, no matter what the environment is like around them, to make that product successful.
So Ken Norton is also speaking at the Startup Product Summit. He was looking at who else was speaking, Josh Ellman, and of course, Tatiana, you are speaking, which I'm very excited about.
Yes, I am as well.
The lineup of speaking, including Tristan Cromer of the Lean Startup, and just quite the luminaries and people who really are passionate and care about forwarding product management. So Ken was like, hey, I need to be in this lineup, and we're delighted to have him, because he has written quite a lot about product managers. And, you know, for people who identify as product managers, that's painful to realize that, they could exist. A company might be successful without a product manager, but, hey, wouldn't including product managers in the team, wouldn't that totally support everyone else's efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm really excited that Ken Norton is speaking. That'll be really, really great. And then, two, I think it's it's a role of supporting everyone's efforts, organizing everyone's efforts, and in the case of a really great product manager, leading everyone's efforts and moving from the high level of communicating the vision of a product and why we're all in this, what we're all doing, all the way down to really high-level work, all the way down to the nitty-gritty. And the product manager needs to be okay with just doing the dirty work that just moves a product forward and really closes that product in terms of getting it out the door.
Yes, yes. So awesome. So let's jump into talking about how do you bootstrap a mobile app company? Because
sure.
You mentioned that you've done this. So I
spent I spent 6 months building out my own mobile app, and had a wonderful time doing it. Learned a lot, and I wanted to bootstrap it, and the reason for that was just what it forces you to do is say, how do I make money out of a product as quickly as possible? Of course, there's the whole spending as little as possible. I definitely did the whole ramen noodle thing where I really was eating cups of ramen noodle every day. in terms of how do I make a product that people want to buy as quickly as possible, there's a ton of literature out there on, building an MVP and then listening to users and iterating. And it's a lot of buzzwords, right? People kind of roll their eyes and say, like, oh, people talk about this all the time. But, in my case, building out this mobile app, it actually really worked. It was actually the solution to getting a product that was in the hands of hundreds of thousands of users very, very quickly. I started one of my passions is women's health and women's health technology. So when I started building out my own company, I started with a fertility tracking website. And it was a mobile, it had responsive design, it looked really great on the phone, but it really didn't take off. It had a trickle of users, but the worst part is that just people weren't coming back to it every day. And, so the thing that I did there was just to go talk to users and ask them, what do you want? What do you want out of this? What's really important? And also, listening to the data as well, that, we weren't getting a huge amount of users. We also couldn't invest a ton in marketing. And so product discoverability was really important, that we weren't having a super sticky product that people came back to every day. So after talking to users and listening to the data, what users were saying was, I actually want a native app. Like your app looks really good on the phone, but it's just not working for me. Like I want this to be an iPhone app. So went back to the drawing board and created an iPhone app instead of a website. And instead of making it a fertility tracking mobile app, I wanted to make that content really, really interesting, something that you would want to come back to every single day. And so did something really crazy and fun and created something called a mood horoscope and period tracker. And, for every day of the cycle, it tells a woman what she can expect to feel. And the whole point of it was to bring women's health education to a woman in a really fun and interesting way that she would want to read every single day. And that really worked. That app now has a few hundred thousand users and has a nice steady source of income. And at about that time, the CEO of Crowdflower reached out and brought me back into Crowdflower. So I'm no longer working on that, but I learned so much about, just really looking at, talking to users, looking at the data and boiling down, getting to that product that will take off quickly.
Excellent. Excellent. So it just didn't scale as fast as you thought it would, because did it have to do with people had to be educated that not only it was available, but, reaching the right audience that wanted it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple of reasons. One is that just there's so many more websites than mobile apps that it's really, really hard to make a website very discoverable. And so... And so we weren't getting an enormous amount of user signups. SEO is really, really tough on the web often because there's just so much out there. And so I'm a huge fan of apps for consumer products just because of the discoverability there. And we also saw that women weren't coming back and using the app every single day. And I think part of that is that, health tracking is actually really difficult. Like entering data about your health every single day is, I think not many companies have cracked that nut in terms of making health tracking apps very, very sticky. And so I think that was another problem.
Yes, health is a big issue. I think maybe we'll do a series looking at health tech. And we do have at sfproducttalks.com is a meetup where we have digital events, and there is a webcast coming up dealing with data in health tech. Awesome. And we are watching the time. You're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. We're talking with Tatiana Josephy, who's head of products at Crowdflower. And we're going to end early so she can get to her sprint. But before you go, I have two questions. I think you've answered, what are you passionate about, which is Q6, and Q7 is really the biggie. It's like, how do you define product excellence, which I think you also have alluded to.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think product excellence is a really, really tricky one. And, I think a lot of people define product excellence in different ways. I like Andreessen Horowitz. They talk about, a product that we want to invest in is 10x better than other products. And I think in my mind, it's hard to measure what 10x is. And so, I think deep down, what I think is a really great product is a product that inspires users to become evangelists of that product. One example, a year ago, I was with a friend in a car with a pink mustache on it, came rolling up, Lyft. And as she was getting into the car, she said, "Lyft, you have to use this product." And that, in my mind, is really when you know that a product is excellent, when it captures the imagination of somebody so strongly that they can't hold it in, they have to tell other people about it. And at Crowdflower, that's really what we're aiming for, that we make work so much more efficient and easier and turning work from something that takes days into something that can take hours for a company, that product is so such a joy to use that you just want to go to all of your coworkers and say, "You must use this platform, you must use that product." And that, in my mind, is the best measure of product excellence, is when we go into a company and they say, "Oh my goodness, they do the demo for us. That's a great product."
Yes. So the customers do the demo. Yeah, so that's product excellence in terms of the customer experience. So if the customer experiences it as being something that inspires them to be passionate and evangelize it, then that's an excellent product. But do you think that product excellence exists before it gets to the customer?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think there's excellence in the process of product management as well. There's excellence, I think, that matters the most at the very earliest stages of product management, and that is talking to users, doing usability testing before a product goes out the door. But I think all of that leads up to, is that end product something that people are running around telling their friends about? I think it to get to that point, there has to be excellence from the very beginning.
Awesome. Well, this has been an excellent discussion from where with you, Tatiana, and I really appreciate your time, and thank you to the Crowdflower team for letting you join us today. There's been a lot of great wisdom and great quotes in almost everything that you said, which I really appreciate. I'm very excited that you'll be speaking at the Startup Product Summit on October 10th. And any closing words that you'd like to leave with our audience? And there'll be lots of tweeting afterwards. But just any closing words before you take off?
Sure, sure. Well, thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to the talk in October. It wouldn't be right if I didn't plug Crowdflower, the fact that we are, always hiring engineers and great interaction designers. And, you know, it's a fantastic company that connects anybody with a computer and access to the internet to real work and income. And so it's a company with a great mission and a lot of growth. And so definitely a plug for Crowdflower to say that we're hiring and we'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Yes, no, it is a great company. And to the point that Lucas saw that you were doing something great and reached out to you to join in. That says a lot. And also that lets me say that at the summit, there will be an opportunity for companies to be present who are looking to fill product positions. So you're welcome to bring your resume. We'll have a whole separate area where sponsors will be, where you can find out about those companies. And if you're interested in sponsoring and having a table and finding product people, get in touch with me, Cindy, at Startup Product. Great. There'll also be an after party where we'll get to network with everyone who's there, and I hope the speakers will hang around for that. So thank you so much, Tatiana, for joining us today on the Global Product Management Talk. Thank you to Crowdflower for letting her join us and for the excellent products that you're putting out and for the really excellent way that you're incorporating product management and inspiring engineering creativity. So
thank you, Cindy.
Thanks. And shout out to all our friends there. Shout out to the tweeters who've been tweeting. Let me see if I can pull up. Melanie Holloway, thanks for the retweets. Prod PCamp Atlanta, thanks for your tweets. And join us also at sfproducttalks.com and startupproduct.com. And thanks, Tatiana. Have a great week, and I'll follow up with you offline about the summit and everything else.
Thank you.
Great. And have a great week. Thanks to our sponsors again, the AIPMM. Check out their webinar series at AIPMM. Thanks to Sprint.ly. You get 10% off using the code PRODMGMTTALK2013. Check out Product Weekend in San Francisco, October 10th through the 12th. Go to startupproduct.com. This is Cindy F. Solomon signing out for... Oh, and join us next week when Barbara North, who is head of products at Fora TV, will be joining us in the studio live with BZ Lewis. And I think that will be, yes, to complete our Women in Product showcase on the Global Product Management Talk. Thanks, everyone, and... have a great week. Oh, and I forgot one more thing. The ProdBoc, the Product Management Body of Knowledge, is coming out. It's been a several-year endeavor by over 60 people contributing to this body of knowledge physical book, the Product Management Body of Knowledge. It's something that the product management profession has needed for a long time, and the AIPMN and Actuation Consulting and Greg Girasi has been forwarding it. So I'm very excited that it's coming out, so watch for it. Follow the blog at startupproduct.com/blog to get updates and information, and we will keep you posted. Thanks again. Bye.
same time. Mink and a porcupine, feeding ticket and a valentine. On a dry winter leaf.